sat by the window staring out at the canal with my camel's hair coat thrown over my clothes. For I'd left New York in a hurry and the things I'd brought weren't warm enough, even indoors. Outside, all was activity and cheer. It was Christmas, lights twinkling on the canal bridges at night, red-cheeked doves and heron. Scarves flying in the icy wind clattered down the cobblestones with Christmas trees lashed to the backs of their bicycles. In the afternoons, an amateur band played Christmas carols that hung tinny and fragile in the winter air. Chaotic room service trays, too many cigarettes, lukewarm vodka from duty-free. During those restless, shut-up days, I got to know every inch of the room as a prisoner comes to know his cell. It was my first time in Amsterdam. I'd seen almost nothing of the city, and yet the room itself, in its bleak, drafty, sun-scrubbed beauty, gave a keen sense of Northern Europe, a model of the Netherlands in miniature. Whitewash and Protestant probity, commingled with deep-dyed luxury, brought in merchant ships from the East. I spent an unreasonable amount of time scrutinizing a tiny pair of gilt-framed oils hanging over the bureau, one of peasants skating on an ice pond by a church, the other a sailboat flouncing on a choppy winter sea. Decorative copies, nothing special, though I studied them as if they held, encrypted, some key to the secret heart of the old Flemish masters. Outside, sleet tapped at the window panes and drizzled over the canal. And though the brocades were rich and the carpet was soft, still the winter light carried a chilly tone of 1943, privation and austerities, weak tea without sugar, and hungry to bed. Early every morning while it was still blackout, before the extra clerks came on duty and the lobby started filling up, I walked downstairs for the newspapers. The hotel staff moved with hushed voices and quiet footsteps, eyes gliding across me coolly as if they didn't quite see me, the American man in 27 who never came down during the day. And I tried to reassure myself that the night manager, dark suit, crew cut, horn-rimmed glasses, would probably go to some lengths to avert trouble or avoid a fuss. The Herald Tribune had no news pertaining to my predicament, but the story was all over the Dutch papers, dense blocks of foreign print which hung tantalizingly just beyond the reach of my comprehension. Onopoloste moord. Onbekende. I went upstairs and got back into bed, fully clad because the room was so cold, and spread the papers out on the coverlet. Photographs of police cars, crime scene tape, even the captions were impossible to decipher. And although they didn't appear to have my name, there was no way to know if they had a description of me or if they were withholding information from the public. The room. The radiator. An American mit ein Strafblad. Olive green water of the canal. Because I was cold and ill, and much of the time at a loss what to do, I'd neglected to bring a book as well as warm clothes. I stayed in bed most of the day. Night seemed to fall in the middle of the afternoon. Often, amidst the crackle of strewn newspapers, I drifted in and out of sleep, and my dreams for the most part were muddied with the same indeterminate anxiety that bled through into my waking hours. Court cases. Luggage burst open on the tarmac with my clothes scattered everywhere, and endless airport corridors where I ran for planes I knew I'd never make. Thanks to my fever, I had a lot of weird and extremely vivid dreams, sweats where I thrashed around, hardly knowing if it was day or night. But on the last and worst of these nights, I dreamed about my mother. A quick, mysterious dream that felt more like a visitation. I was in Hobie's shop, or more accurately, some haunted dream space staged like a sketchy version of the shop, when she came up suddenly behind me, so I saw her reflection behind me in a mirror. At the sight of her, I was paralyzed with happiness. It was her, down to the most minute detail, the very pattern of her freckles. She was smiling at me, more beautiful and yet not older. Black hair and funny upward quirk of her mouth